evening. Hello. I did grow up on a farm, that's true. And we had a lot of different animals. We had about 30 pigs. We had chickens, of which I think at one point we had 21,000. My dad, he was a poultry farmer, so that explains that. But we also had some other things like worms. I think we bred for a while. Rabbits we had as well. I used to breed ferrets at one point, but recently I found out from my mother. I mean, this was like 2 weeks ago, that my dad was actually had bees, and this was before I was born. It was right after the war, and there was still the Second World War, and there was still rationing. And if you kept bees, you got a certain credit. And I mean, it was kind of to help feed everybody because, you know, like I said, there was still rationing. But you also got credit for all the food and what have you. And I just thought this was pretty amazing. It was part of, I think, the Victory Garden event. So, and I this is something I didn't know. But anyway, I moved over here, and I got into landscaping, and one of the things I really loved was native gardening, and I kind of got into that I did a lot of hiking, and I used to hang out with the Maryland Native Plant Society, a bunch of geeky people. I hope none of them are here today, but they were fantastic. But we would traipse all over, like, western Maryland, the mountains, Magathie River, the gunpowder, just looking at native plants and identifying them sometimes. And it really, I got this amazing, you know, passion for native plants. And I, you know, then obviously I started to incorporate them into my landscapes because it really made sense. I mean, these were plants that they're a lot more durable. They'll deal with drought, and you know, it just makes sense to be planting native plants. So, and probably about, I would say, I don't know, five or six years ago, I really started to get more into doing wildlife gardens and pollinators. And part of why I got into that was that the decline of insects in this country, everywhere, has been really high. And it just made sense to be doing gardens that provided food, habitat, for bees, bats, birds, and, you know, other small mammals like, you know, rats. I mean, because we're in Baltimore, right? No, but I mean, the rats do appear. But anyway, I really got into that, and I had a friend who was into beekeeping, and we do this home and garden show each year, and I decided to have a bee house in there. And, you know, it went down well. But part of the, also, we were really seeing about a couple of years ago a decline in bees, and a lot of that had to do with pesticides and habitat loss. And so, you know, I wanted to push the issue of not using pesticides in gardens. So that was another reason to really, you know, to really get into bees and to encourage people to not use pesticides on their lawns and what have you. It did get me in a little bit of trouble because at one of the home garden shows, we had big signs up saying no pesticides and spraying, and no mosquito spraying, and Mosquito Joe was there, and I got into a little bit of a trouble with him. But anyway, I also do some art installations, and in the course of doing these art installations, which again were pollinator related, I got invited by Baltimore County Schools to do a little workshop on making bee houses and bee motels. This was up at the Ag Center in Hunt Valley. And I didn't really know that much about making the actual houses, but I was really kind of inspired and like, okay, I'll give this a shot. So we took a whole bunch of material up, like old wine boxes, cardboard, and a lot of scissors and knives and box cutters, and there was like maybe 70 kids there, which I don't know. I was really scared about like kids losing fingers and what have you and making these bee houses, but they did an amazing job and they were so inspired by it. They really got it, and in doing so, I was like, okay, well, they're really into it. I better really get into it as well. So. That month, I went home and I decided to put a bunch of these bee houses, some of which we'd made that were left over from the workshop event. And so this really entails, just to get into a little bit of detail, you have these tubes about 8 inches long and half an inch wide, and they provide a home for solitary bees, specifically native bees. And the two that I was kind of interested in were leafcutter bees and mason bees. So we put these little bee houses out above our lovely native garden, and soon enough, you know, they were getting filled. We could actually see the bees going in. I got one little video and at this point it would have definitely been the female. She was going in, laying the eggs at the back, and she brings pollen in, and then she brings mud in, and she'll lay an egg, and she'll repeat that about 6 to 8 times. So when we reached, I guess it would be in June, all these little tubes were all filled with potential bees, and I decided to take it a little step further. So I'd read online that you could nurture them through the winter by taking the tubes out, cleaning the, well, at that point they've developed from eggs to larva to pupa. So this is like, well, this would be late November. So you can take these larvae in and clean them and then nurture them through the winter. And I thought, this is a great idea. So I took them inside. My wife, who's over there, would have had an absolute fit because I had all these bee tubes on the kitchen table. I got some water, and I was dipping the cardboard tubes into the water and unraveling them, and I'm kind of looking, oh, I can see the pollen, I can see the mud packs, and after a while of cleaning these tiny, tiny little eggs, they're less than half an inch wide, you know, I had about 50 of them or so. So I was like, well, one of the reasons that I was questioning, like, why would you do that? And the answer is to protect them from parasitic wasps and mites and such forth. And yeah, sure enough, on the table there, crawling out of the tubes were a bunch of mites and a sizable spider that was green. I thought, okay, this makes sense. So I put them in a gelato container, a little see-through container, put them into the fridge with a little cotton wool, kept them there over the winter. And come springtime, we removed them. This would have been April. I removed them. They'd been sleeping quite comfortably there the whole winter. And we put them on our porch, and each day I would go by, and we'd kind of look at them, and we'd see what's going on, and not much happened. But then after I guess it would have been April, we saw like one bee. And for me and my wife, it was like, you know, amazing, because like, oh, there's one. I knew it was a mason bee from the egg, so we released that one, and then a few weeks later, we were looking again at these containers, and there was even more bees. So we opened this one up and this container, and there were some stems of grass in there, and this one little bee that crawl all the way up. And this was a leafcutter bee. And my identification at that point had gotten a bit better because it was either leafcutter or mason. And there was this beautiful, fuzzy little bee. And it was kind of cleaning itself off. And the sunlight hit it. And I swear that it kind of looked at me and it winked and then it flew off. And it, you know. And to me, it was like I said, we all have kids. We have one cat. I mean, to us, it was like, wow, these are our first babies. We've given birth. And it really made me think about, okay, well, we did nurture them all the way through the winter, but and that kind of was the point of it all. But it also really made me think about, you know, back when my dad was actually keeping bees, it was more out of necessity. I mean, you needed to put food on the table, and if the keeping bees could help, that was encouraged. So, you know, to me, that really was the whole point of it. It's like, if we don't help bees and other insects and pollinators with habitat and nurturing them through the winter, we're probably all going to be pollinating our own plants with toothbrushes and paintbrushes. And to me, that made the whole point. And that's about it. Thank you.